Today we're reading from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 6, ESV. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, David. Well, we're looking at, we've been talking about our life together as a church and just talking about some of the things that should define us. Loving others, keeping ourselves in the love of God. And one of the things that is important as a church is the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper. And I was thinking about this and how we normally teach it in a baptism class, and you kind of, sometimes you hear about baptism as you're thinking about getting baptized, and then you really don't hear much about it after that. And so I thought this is a great opportunity for us to talk about baptism and talk about what it means to us and the significance of it. People say baptism is an initiation rite into the Christian faith. Just think about that, an initiation rite. It's a sacrament about coming into the faith. We'll hear about different initiation rites that people do, and often they are very kind of negatively viewed. You may think of some of the hazing rituals that fraternities will do, right? Those are initiation rites. I'm sure we could go around the room and hear different things that people may have done at some point. You know, maybe you had to eat like raw eggs. I've heard that being done. Remember in high school, there was a group that if you were in, you had to go do push-ups in the creek. So they'd send you down the road, and there's a place you'd do push-ups in the middle of the night. Different things, and a lot of times these things are, they just kind of end up becoming a bit demoralizing. You know, you give somebody a little bit of permission to call you to do something, and it just gets carried away. Kind of as a side note, I was at a friend's birthday party last night, and we were playing a game, and someone had to eat something that the person on the right picked out for them. Well, I just so happened to be the person on the right, so I was like, this is fantastic. I just went into the kitchen, I was like, I'm going to grab a little something and mix it together, and then I ended up grabbing everything in the kitchen. There was hummus, there was cupcakes, there were quiches, like all kinds of stuff, Coke, sweet tea, all this, just kind of mixed it up. And he had to eat it. And it was a lot of fun watching him do that. You know, I went in just kind of, let me just do a little something. But then you get carried away and you just end up doing more and more audacious things. And that's how these initiation rites can be sometimes. They're often silly and they're often viewed as like a way to punish the person. Well, it's really interesting that that's not what baptism is. Baptism is not meant to put us down. It's meant to encourage us and strengthen us and build us up. And as we talk about it, I think we'll see that it's just God's wisdom and God's design, that of all the things that he could call his people to do, as an expression of faith that they have trusted in him and they are following him, baptism is the perfect thing for that. Baptism, it points to the gospel. It points us to what Jesus has done for us. And it's also a way for us to profess our faith that we have trusted in him and we're following him. You know, God could have done different things like, well, you have to get a master's degree in holiness. You know, until you complete that, you know, you're just not really a part of the faith. Or maybe it could be something like, you know, until you can give $100,000 or maybe $1,000, you know, whatever. Like there could be things like that. That's just, how would I ever get there? Here we see that it's baptism. Baptism is what God chooses for his people. It's an initiation rite and it is a sign of the good news that is in Jesus Christ. So I want to go through and talk about a few things so that you can better understand baptism. You know, one of the things that I always like talking about baptism is because I came to faith at age 18. I was a freshman in college. I didn't know much at all about Christianity and started in a Bible study with a guy that became a really good friend. And as we studied the Bible, I started getting answers to questions. I trusted in Christ. I knew I was a sinner. I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. But I really didn't know much about it. And I still remember one day he came and he knocked on my door, just a random event, like a Friday afternoon in college. He knocks on my dorm room and says, "Hey, Keith, we're going to do baptism. You need to come." And I was like, I was baptized as an infant? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So basically told him no, and probably said something like, "Oh, I'm too busy," or this, that, and the other. Put him off. And so a couple weeks later, same thing, knocked on the door, "Keith, we're doing baptisms. You need to go." It's like, "No, I'm good. I've got a video game to play. I'm really busy today." Typical college, right? But as we talked, I realized I'm starting to see that this is important, and I need to start to understand this. So it started a time of us talking and me getting to know what baptism was, until finally got to a point where it's like, he said, "You need to get baptized." I said, "You know what? I understand why I need to get baptized. I see it in God's word, and I'm ready for that." And I was really grateful for that time of growing and understanding what baptism was, and somebody taking the time to explain it to me rather than just knock on my door and say, "Hey, you get baptized." I got to know the why. I got to know why I should get baptized and why it's so significant. And so that's one of my goals as a church, that as you come in, you won't just hear, "Hey, you need to be a member. Hey, you need to get baptized," but you get a chance to hear the why, and you get a chance to ask questions. And so we're going to go through and talk about some important elements of baptism so you can better understand what God's word says about this sacrament. So first, I want to look at the command to be baptized. We just read this scripture, Matthew 28:19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Right there, you see the importance of baptism. Jesus is calling his disciples to the Great Commission. He's giving them a task, and that task is that they would baptize. They're baptizing and they're teaching. They're teaching people to obey all that God has commanded. Right here, we see the importance of baptism in the Great Commission. It's not an optional part of the Great Commission. It is an essential part of that. Jesus commissions his disciples to go, and they are to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. So the end of discipleship is teaching to people to obey all that he has commanded. All right, anybody obeying all that Jesus commanded? Everything, all the time. All right, nobody has gotten to that point yet. So we're going to spend the rest of our lives trying to grow more and more in our knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and being more faithful to him. All right, so that's the end of discipleship. But we also see here the beginning point. It's baptizing. The disciples were to be teaching about baptizing, engaging, helping people understand what baptism is so that they could do the baptizing. So there's a beginning and end here. We see the starting point of following Jesus. In Acts 2:38, Peter is preaching to the people, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." So right there, Peter is preaching, and people are like, "What should we do to be saved?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." We see how closely connected those two things are. In order to be saved, we have to trust in Jesus. We repent of not living for him. We put our faith in him. That's repentance and faith, but closely connected to this is baptism, because baptism is a profession of faith. It's a profession that we've trusted in him. Now, some people will take this and say, "Well, you know, they said, what should we do to be baptized?" And Peter says, "Repent, be baptized." Hey, get baptized and you're saved. You have to be baptized to be saved, and put too much weight on baptism. I tell people kind of what I think Peter is saying there is, it's like, I've got a son. Actually, I've got four kids. They're going to go to college at some point, but we'll just say my oldest. I tell him, "Hey, you need to go to college next year and get a degree." If he goes to college and then shows up a week later at my house and says, "Hey, Dad, look at this. I got a degree." And he's got a piece of paper that says, you know, college graduate, you know, he's got a degree, right? But you've kind of missed the point. Like, there's a process that you need to go through on that. We can say get a degree, but we're kind of talking about the process. And call people to get baptized, and what we're saying is called to trust in Jesus, to repent and trust in him, and be baptized as a profession of that faith. So we see Peter talking about that, and just, again, the importance of baptism, the command to be baptized. We see the why they're to get baptized as a profession of faith. We also see the when, like when should I get baptized? We would say that baptism, it is an outward expression of an inward heart changed, that you have trusted in Christ. And so you are baptized after you've trusted in him, after you've believed. We see that happening throughout the book of Acts. As people come to faith, they are baptized in response to what Jesus has done for them. It's a willful decision on the part of the person getting baptized. So if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Christ, you should get baptized. And I say that because I remember at my last church, we started a baptism class. We wanted to have a time of teaching to help people understand what baptism is. And we thought, hey, we're going to reach people that maybe they're on the fringes of the church. They've been thinking about baptism, or maybe they're somewhat involved in the Christian faith, but they need to grow more. So we thought, hey, this is a great way to reach those people. We start the class, and a guy that was a part of founding member of the church comes to class, and me and another guy, we're talking to him for a few minutes, and finally we're like, you know, are you waiting on somebody? Like, is your son coming, or what's going on here? And he kind of laughed and then said sheepishly, he said, you know what? I've never been baptized. I came to faith and just threw myself into the church, serving and doing all these different things, and it just got to a point where I was so busy every Sunday I couldn't get baptized, and then after a while, I just started feeling bad that I've been a believer for so long, and if I got baptized, people are going to think, like, I just came to faith. And it was a really neat conversation, and I think it highlights the confusion that people can have on baptism. If you're a believer, if you trust in Christ, you should get baptized as a profession of faith in him. If you've waited a while to do that, it's okay, but respond to him. Don't not get baptized because of a fear of what other people may think. You need to be faithful to him. He calls you to be baptized, so be baptized. Follow him in that. And this is one of the things that as a person comes to faith in Christ, they start to make decisions, not based on what others think, but on what Jesus says. Others aren't defining your life. He is. If he says get baptized, follow him in baptism. It's a way that you profess that, hey, I'm following him. I'm following his word. If he commands me to do something, I want to respond to that. I also want to point out that while baptism, it's a command and it's a way to express that we have trusted in Christ, that we're following him, that it's an initiation into the faith, it doesn't end with baptism. This is really neat. We read Acts 2:38, and then just a little bit after that, in verse 41, it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. A lot of times we end there when we're talking about baptism, right? They were baptized, 3,000. Wow, that's amazing. We end there. What happened after baptism is verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. You know, a lot of times we go to Acts 38 through 41 to talk about baptism, and then we talk about church life in verses 42 through 46. They're not separated. Those are together. After a moment of baptism comes a life of discipleship. That's the way it should naturally flow. That you've been baptized to profess that you've trusted in Christ, but it doesn't end there. That begins a life where you are following him. You're in his word. You're gathering with other people to encourage you in your faith. You're gathering as a church to be built up and strengthened through the word. Sometimes we separate that. Oh, just get baptized. You're baptized and you're good. No, we need to make sure we're connecting the dots. That if you're to be baptized means that you want to be a part of the church, that you are gathering to be with other believers, that you are gathering to push forward the mission of Jesus, that you are gathering with other people for the Great Commission to make other disciples. We can't separate those. We can't say, oh, you're baptized, you're good. You know, yes, man, there's something significant in baptism, but there's also significance to the ongoing following and seeking Jesus that you have to do. A believer without the church is like a fish out of water. It's not good. And at some point, you're going to die. You've got to have other people nourishing you and strengthening you in your faith. We've got to see that baptism, we're commanded to do it, and it's an essential part of the Christian faith, but it also points to a greater life with Jesus that we have. So that's the first thing. We're commanded to be baptized. The second thing is that baptism is a sign of the gospel. So we talked about how this is an initiation rite into the faith, but it's not an initiation rite that is meant to demean us or to poke fun at others. It's an initiation rite that is meant to encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. You know, we see throughout the book of Acts as people come to trust in Jesus, they are baptized. You see that those who heard Peter's preaching, they repented, they were baptized. You see it. Philip goes down to Samaria, he baptizes. Saul, when he believes, he's baptized. Cornelius, he is baptized after hearing the preaching of Peter. Lydia, the Corinthians, they all get baptized as a profession of faith that they've trusted in him. So why baptism? What is the significance of that? I want to talk a little bit about that. We read Romans earlier. Romans 6:4. We have it on the screen. We're going to look at it again. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. There's an identification that we have here. We've been buried with him. We are identifying with Christ. So we identify with him in death. We're identifying with his resurrection. In baptism, you go under the water. So death. And then you're raised out of the water. Resurrection. You are identifying with Christ. It's a way for us to identify with Christ. It's part of the significance of it. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, and I remember, you know, back in the day, everybody would go to the mall, right? You old people remember that. Young people are like, what? What's a mall? We go to the mall. Everybody would be at the mall. You go to the mall, you'd see your friends and stuff like that. And, you know, you'd go with your parents and, you know, I remember back in the day, you guys remember where we wear like 6 pairs of socks and you'd push them down and, you know, you do all these things. You wear baggy pants. And so, you know, all my friends, you got baggy pants and your socks got to be just right. And then, you know, dad is like, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. And so, you know, my parents are about 20 yards in front of me, and I'm lurking behind. You know, I'm looking to see if any friends might see me with my parents. I'm not wanting to identify with them, right? There's certain things that I'm being a silly teenager, and I'm not wanting to be seen with them. I'm not identifying. It's different when you say, maybe you see your friends, and you're like, hey, that's my guy. That's my friend. You go up, you hug them. You're identifying with them. You're saying, hey, I'm with him. We're together. You know, maybe you're in a relationship. You got to define the relationship, right? And then people start to see, oh, wait, hey, what's going on there? And at some point you say, oh, no, that's my boyfriend. That's my girlfriend. You're saying I'm identifying with them. You're claiming them. Well, baptism is a way for us to identify with Christ, that he's my Savior. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was raised to newness of life. And my hope is that just as he was raised, I too can be raised. Through faith. Baptism is a way that we identify with Jesus, that we're saying, he's my Savior. I'm trusting in him. Baptism, also as you think about baptism, and you think about what are we baptized into? You know, of all the things that we could do, we're baptized into water. I mean, we could have a lot of fun. You know, hey, let's get a tank and let's fill it up with some Coca-Cola. You know, maybe you make a big banana split and, hey, let's get in there. And man, this is going to be a lot of fun. We don't do that, do we? Because when you get baptized in that, you come out worse than you began. You get baptized in Coke, you're going to be all sticky and nasty, and you're going to have to get rid of your clothes and all that. In baptism, we use water, right? And water cleanses. Water cleanses. Baptism points to a greater cleansing that we need. It points to the cleansing that we need in Jesus Christ. We see the significance of it. We actually have the Heidelberg Catechism on the screen. This is an old catechism. This is 1 Corinthians. We'll read this. Do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's bad news, right? But you come to verse 11. And such were some of you. Isn't that amazing? He's telling this to a church. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That is just such a beautiful thing that those of us that, and it's all of us, we've made mistakes, we've messed up, we've done things that God forbid it, we've done it, and we can be forgiven. That's amazing. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what we have in Jesus. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. And so baptism, it points to what Jesus has done for us. That through his death, we can be forgiven. Through his resurrection, we have hope that we can have new life. Not defined by our sin, but defined by who he is and what he's done for us. We can be forgiven of all those things in the past and walk in new life with him. Next slide is the Heidelberg Catechism. How does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? And it says in this way, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurities. That is sin. All my sins. Isn't that neat? That baptism points to a washing that we have in Jesus Christ. That all of our sins are washed away just as surely as when my kids go out and they're playing in the mud and they get all dirty, I can pull out the hose and wash them clean. So also in Christ, we can be washed of our sins. Those things that make us feel ashamed and guilty. The things that make you feel like you've got to work harder and harder and do everything perfectly and then you never do it perfectly and you just feel more guilt. You've got to stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in him and what he's done for you. We can be washed clean. That's amazing to think about what we can do. Think about how guilt plagues so many people today. You've got to stop trying to work off your own guilt. You could never wash away your sins. Only Jesus can wash those away. So we're baptized. We're baptized into water to remind us of the cleansing that Jesus Christ brings to us. We're cleansed of our sin through faith in him. As we see the significance of baptism, we're pointed to the gospel. We see what he does for us. And we start to see, you know, one of the biggest reasons, all the people I've talked to over the years, often people want to put it off. And I'll say, they'll say, well, I'm not ready. And I'll say, well, what do you need to do to get ready? And they say, well, I need to get my life more in order. I need to be a better Christian. I need to be more faithful with my quiet times. And there can be a good impulse in that, right? We want to be more devoted, but a lot of times people feel like they've got to clean themselves up. And that's not why we're believers. If you're waiting to get it all right, if you're waiting to be perfect, you're never going to get baptized. We're not baptized because we're perfect. We're not baptized because we have it all together. We're baptized because we know we're not perfect and we know we don't have it all together, but we know one who does and he's forgiven us. That's why we're baptized, because we've trusted in him, because we've stopped trying to do things ourselves. And we've finally come to a place of saying, I'm submitting to you. I'm trusting in your work, not my work. God calls us to be sincere in our faith. He doesn't call us to be perfect. We've got to make sure we remember that. Don't wait till you're perfect to get baptized. We do want to make sure we're sincerely following him. I had another guy, I tell this story somewhat frequently. It was kind of neat. I was doing a baptism class and a guy came and he was a very new believer. He had moved from another state, moved to be closer to his sister. His sister starts reaching out to him. He hears about the gospel. He hit rock bottom. And knew he had to turn, and he heard the gospel, and was like, this is true, and I need to give myself to it. And it was a really neat moment. A week or so after that, he comes to baptism class, and I'm talking to him afterwards, and he said, Keith, yeah, I want to get baptized, but I don't think I'm ready. I'm like, well, you know, you're never going to be ready. He's like, I know. But and he would have said that his previous employment was in pharmaceuticals. You know what that means? Kind of street pharmaceuticals. And he said, Keith, you know, I'm just coming out of that. And I believe in Jesus, but I just feel like I've got to put that way of life behind me. I feel like there's got to be a greater break between where I'm at now and where I was. And I looked at him, I said, Jason, I think you're right. I support that. You know, you we're saved by faith. Like, you don't have to clean up your life, but yeah, there does need to be a break. There's got to be you're saying, hey, I'm done with that way of life. And he says, yeah, I want to do that. And so it was really neat. He just got super involved and going to Bible study and doing other things. And about 6 months later, he came up and he said, hey, Keith, I think it's time for me to get baptized. And I looked at him as like, I think you're right. And it was really neat because some of his family, when he first came to faith, they were just like, well, you know, he's not the same. Like, we don't know if this is going to be short-lived or what's going on. But, you know, at that point, his family had seen him change. That this was not the same guy that they knew before. He was totally different. There was something completely just life-transforming about what he had encountered. And so he gets baptized, and the whole family is there just in awe and rejoicing in what God has done in his life. So baptism, it forces us to hold things in balance. We're never going to be perfect, but there's got to be sincerity. There's that balance of we are forgiven, but we're called to holiness. Baptism forces us to think through that. It forces us to think through, hey, what is God in my life right now? Is it the way of the world or is it Jesus Christ? It's a way for us to declare that we have trusted in him, that we've heard the good news, that we understand it, and that we are entering into it. That I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I'm identifying with I'm a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. I'm going under the water. So I'm identifying with Jesus and his death for sin. Jesus' death says something about me. It says that my sin is significant. It says that it's serious. We can't just gloss over it. I need my sins removed. We're identifying with that. We're also identifying with, I believe Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. I don't believe he was some mythical creature that was invented. No, I believe he was the incarnate Son of God. He died for my sins and he rose to new life. And I believe that by trusting in him, I too can have newness of life. You're identifying with him. You know, it's a way to say that you are under new management. It's a way to put it. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that there's something different going on. We were actually, my son's going to appreciate this. We were kind of hanging out last night and we were watching, I don't remember the name of the show. It was this, it's the show with Gordon Ramsay where he comes in and the restaurant impossible. It's like this restaurant is just like everything that you shouldn't do, they are doing. And at one point, like we were watching them, they're just taking this food from the freezer and they're microwaving it. And he gets really mad. He comes out and he's like, is there anything that you gave me to eat in this place that wasn't microwaved? And one of the guys speaks up. He's like, yeah, there was. Your salad. And he kind of lost at that moment. But you know, it was run so poorly. And if you've ever seen the show, you know, I'm not a big fan of him, but he sits down with the owner and we'll just say has a heart-to-heart, maybe a bit of a come-to-Jesus moment, where he's sharing some hard truth with them to get them to see that you can't keep running things this way. And sure enough, this owner kind of has a breaking point and she says, you're right. You're right. I'm going all in. I'm going to get this right. And her, you know, he works with her and the rest of the staff to start doing things differently. And it was really, it's always neat to see the transformation that happens in that place. Now, they're not going to be a perfect restaurant, right? But there's been a change of heart where they've said, you know what? I was going against all these things and now we're making a change of direction. That's what baptism is. It's a way to profess that you're under new management. You're not living for the world. You're not doing your own thing. You've submitted to Jesus Christ. You've trusted in him or following him. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to have it all together. But you're looking to him, and you're letting his work define who you are. Every day you're looking to what his work accomplished for you. You have hope in everything. You have hope that even if the worst thing in life happens to you, you're going to be in a better place. You have hope that he's going to lead you and guide you in all things. You can have peace because of him. Third thing to note is that we are saved by faith. We're not saved by ourselves. We're saved through his work. We're saved through what he has done. Again, baptism, it's a outward expression. We're expressing outwardly what has happened in our hearts. In our hearts, we've come to trust in Jesus. We've come to trust him as our Lord and Savior. He's changed our hearts. If you change someone's heart, if someone has your heart, they have your whole life. We see that we're saved by faith. We can never do enough work to work away our sin. Even if you set out and say, hey, you know, I've messed up in the past. I'm going to work those things off. I'm going to do all these great deeds. Look, it's just a matter of time before you need to repent of your good deeds, because your good deeds are going to be fraught with failure. You're going to go to help an old lady across the street, and then you're going to get mad and impatient. You're going to say, I'm going to be the perfect parent, and then you fall short. You're going to say, I'm going to be the perfect entrepreneur or whatever it is. You fall short. You keep falling short. We're not saved through our work. We're saved through Jesus. We have to trust in him and him alone. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's amazing. The gospel is such good news. This thief could be with Jesus in paradise because he trusted in him. There's so much power when we trust in something, when we give our lives to somebody. That's the greatest change that could ever happen. And sometimes we try and give God our tokens. Hey, I'll give a little bit of money. Hey, look at me. I'm giving. Hey, look at me. I'm in Bible study. We can give him tokens and withhold our heart. That's not what God wants. He wants your heart. And he'd rather have your heart than your tokens. You can ask your wife, hey, honey, would you rather have my heart or tokens? She's going to say, I want your heart. That's what God wants. We give him by faith. We're saved by faith. We're saved by faith in what he has done for us. We have to be reminded of that. And after starting with baptism, we don't just go on the Christian life and say, well, I was baptized, but now, I trusted in Jesus, but no, now it's all about me. No, every day is a life of trusting in him. Every day is a life of trusting what he's done for you. Every day is a day to see that you've fallen short again, but he makes up for it. When you see that, it's a spring of gratitude. It's a spring of love. You just spend every day of your life growing more and more amazed that he would choose you, that he would forgive you, that he would pour out his grace on you. We're saved by faith. We've got to see that and see the significance of what he has done. We're saved by faith. You know, one of the things about baptism, you know, we're not saved through baptism. But it points to what Jesus has done for us. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they'll say, well, you know, hey, I want to get baptized again. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Some people will say, well, you know, I was baptized and, you know, I didn't understand it. You know, I just knew mom. She wanted me to get baptized. I was scared to disappoint her, so I just went and got baptized. I don't really know why. I just knew if I didn't get baptized, I'd be in trouble. So I got baptized. And they'd say, well, now I understand what Jesus did for me. And I feel like getting baptized now, it's a declaration that I put my trust in him. I say, that's a great reason to get baptized. You know, I'll talk to people at other seasons of life where maybe they've come out of, there's ups and downs in the Christian life. And maybe you're coming out of a time where you have been down a little bit. And sometimes people will respond that I need to get baptized again. And I'll say, you don't necessarily need to get baptized again. And they'll say, well, you know, what do you mean? And I equate it to, it's kind of like when Amanda and I got married. We got married. We had a big wedding ceremony. We made vows to one another. We made vows that we would love each other and be kind to each other and all those things. And there can be seasons in your marriage where maybe you're not, maybe there's a little bit of conflict. Maybe you're just not seeing eye to eye on certain things. And you can start to let those things get to you. And when we realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm not being as kind as I should be to you. I've been short with you. When we come to that realization, the solution isn't, hey, babe, let's go and let's get married again. Let's have a ceremony. Let's get everybody there. We don't necessarily need to do that, do we? We just need to go back and do the things that we said we would do again. We need to be reminded that, hey, I promised that I would do this. I need to do that. Sometimes it's like that with baptism. Just because you're going through, you've had a season of difficulty, doesn't mean you need to come back and get baptized again. You just need to do the things that you professed to do the first time. You professed that you were going to follow Jesus. You start doing that. You professed that you believed he was your Savior. You start living life out like that. Now, Maybe there needs to be some conversation on where are you at in that. Talk to somebody about that. Come talk to me. Start figuring out where you're at. Sometimes people are like, I'm not sure where I'm at or what I need to do. I said, well, start thinking about it, but make sure you're putting Jesus number one. Like if that's at all fuzzy right now, just start following him. Put him first, and it'll get made clear. Do you need to get baptized, or did you trust in him before? Just put him first. Put him first and look to him. And talk with others on what those next steps are. We'd love to be a place where you can talk about that and help determine what your next steps are. But this is one of the things that as a church, we want to see people coming to faith. You know, as we think about building a church here, building it on a genuine community, building it on getting in the Word of God, we're going to see people trusting in Him. We're going to see people growing in their understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And we want to celebrate that. That's one of my favorite things. We had baptisms a few months ago and just celebrating with people that had all different seasons of life, all different backgrounds, but God is working in that. He's drawing people to himself. And it's one of the things that we want to celebrate as a church. We want to celebrate what he's doing. We want to celebrate where people are coming to faith. And one of my favorite things is as we have those times, people are often all so nervous. Oh, you know, I don't talk in front of people regularly. I'm nervous, and I always tell them, it's like you're gonna share what God has done in your life, and as you do that, you're gonna get done, and people are gonna erupt in applause, celebrating what God has done, and it's almost like you just got a big hug from the whole church. And whenever we get done with that, people are always they come back and they're like, "That was awesome. That was so cool to be able to share what God has done in my life, and to feel the church receive me." Some people are like, I shared some things that I'm not proud of, but God has forgiven me, and he's knit me together in his body. And I want to celebrate those with my church family. I want to celebrate what he's doing. And it's amazing how it works to build up the church and also to build up the person who's getting baptized. So if you've trusted in Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, you should get baptized. If you are exploring what it means, like you're not sure what it means that Jesus died for your sins, if you're not sure what it means for him to be your Lord, hold off on baptism, but don't hold off on getting answers to your question. We want to be able to be a place to talk to you about that. We want to encourage you to repent, to trust in Jesus. How can you be saved? It's only through faith in Jesus. We want to encourage you to do that, to trust in him. But we also want to come alongside you, and we don't want you to feel pressured to get baptized until it makes sense for you to get baptized, until you can say, hey, I've trusted in Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I know what it means. I know what he's done for me. I'm not perfect, but I am following him. And church, let's be praying. Let's be praying for God to work, to work in those who are here, to work. And we never know who's going to walk through the doors. And we want to meet them where they're at. We want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them and help them to grow in their faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this incredible sacrament that just displays your wisdom, that we can be forgiven of our sin. We can be cleansed of all the things that we're ashamed of. We can have those washed away just as water washes dirt away. God, we're so grateful for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the cleansing and forgiveness that we have in him. We're grateful that the gospel captures our heart. Lord, it's not just a list of do's and don'ts we have, but it's a relationship that we have with you. And we want to follow you in everything. And I pray that we would do that. I pray that as a church, we'd be committed to baptism and a life of discipleship. And God, I pray for those who may be in our midst right now that may be sorting through if they should get baptized. Maybe they're sorting through if it's the right time or if they rightly understand it. God, I pray that you would help them to grow strong in their faith, help them to grow strong in their knowledge of you. And I pray that we as a church can be there as they come to a decision point of saying, I want to do this. This is what Jesus is calling me to do. God, I pray that we can encourage them and help them as they go through that. Thank you for your grace in our life. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.